Hi, everybody. We're ready now. Okay. How about that worship team? Can we just get that was so awesome, guys. So awesome. Thank you so much. And it was an incredibly special day for me because the beautiful blonde standing right here is my daughter, Caitlin. So this was a dream that Caitlin and I spoke about often, that I would speak and she would sing. So, you know, this is a promise that God gave us. So thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I had this like wild experience a couple of years ago that just hang with me, a lot of details, but I have a point to my story. In spite of what my husband says, my stories have points. So a couple of years ago, I went to the Dunkin' Donuts on 106, 107. You might know the Dunkin' Donuts right near the Hicksville Mall. And I was with my girlfriend Carol, and we had a bunch of kids with us. There were like five or six kids, and it was like pandemonium, and the kids were grabbing juices and were getting donuts and whatnot. And I get back in the car, and on the way home, I'm thinking, wow, my receipt is really low. Like, I really didn't pay a lot, and we had a lot of stuff. So I look at the receipt, and I notice that we had an orange juice that we did not pay for. Like, one of the kids must have grabbed on the way out, and we didn't pay for it. So I thought, you know what, one day I need to go back to that Dunkin' Donuts and pay for that orange juice. So weeks went by. I mean, weeks and weeks went by, and one day Caitlin and I were at the Broadway Mall, and as we passed that Dunkin' Donuts, I said, you know what, Caitlin, now's our moment. Let's run in and pay for that orange juice. So we walk in, and unfortunately, there's a woman standing at the counter. I was hoping to be alone, because I knew this was going to sound kind of strange, that I was here a couple of months ago, and now I'm paying for my orange juice. And I really felt like this was between me and God, that I was just being obedient about the $2, because you know the Bible tells us, be obedient in little, and then obedient in much. So I thought, I'm going to get a huge pay raise, right, if I pay this $2. So, so I walk in, and the woman's standing at the counter, and I walk up, and really quietly, I go, I was here like 6-8 weeks ago, and I just need to pay for my orange juice. Well, you can imagine the expression on the person behind the counter. They looked at me like I was nuts, right? And after the woman had placed her order, normally at Dunkin' Donuts, you go down to the far end and wait for your food. And for some reason, the woman literally was standing right next to me. Like, I could almost feel her breath. I obviously didn't know, like, the spatial requirements. Like, she was right here. And so he's like, what? And I go, I was here like 8 weeks, and Caitlin's maybe 7 or 8, she's standing next to me, I go, I was here a couple, I have the $2. I go, I was here a couple of weeks ago, I just need to pay for my orange juice. And out of the corner of my eye, she goes, what? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I really didn't want to engage, you know? And I said, I was here a couple of weeks ago, I just want to pay for my orange juice and like get out of here. And she goes, who does that? And I said, I really feel responsible to my God. And she was speechless. Like, I gave her an answer that she, you know, I think normally say, you know, my mom and dad raised me right, and I should come back and be an honest person. But I said, you know what? I have to answer to my God. And I knew in my spirit that I couldn't walk away and not pay this. And she was speechless. So with that, I gave the guy the $2, and she had, ladies in the audience, some kicking shoes on. Okay, she had some fantastic, like, leopard print. They were fabulous, right? So, important part of the story. So, we go to walk out, and Caitlin's like, Mommy, Mommy, I love her shoes. And I said, go back and tell her. And literally, the counter's here, the door is there. I go, go back and tell her. So, Caitlin walks up to the woman, she taps, and she goes, I love your shoes. And the woman goes, oh, thanks so much. And we leave. So we go home, we get home like 8, 9 o'clock, it's a school Sunday night, so we're like, all right, let's go right to bed. Don't even think about it, go on with my day. The next morning, I'm shockingly late for work, and so I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and I'm doing some Girl Scout stuff, and Michael's sitting at the table, Caitlin's at the table, I assume Christopher's at school already, and K-Joy is on the radio. 98.3, you know, that's like our Long Island station, is on the radio. And to be honest with you, I didn't really listen to K-Joy. When I drove from my house to the train, I thought the female host was a bit rude. She would like bash her husband. She wrote a book about bashing her husband. She was like kind of a trash talker. It was Steve and Maria were the host of the show. So I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my ear, I hear Dunkin' Donuts, orange juice, and the lady paying. And I go, shh, shh, everybody be quiet, like that. And Michael's like, what, what? And Caitlin's like, what? I go, Caitlin, listen to the radio. Maria was standing next to me in Dunkin' Donuts. And she was on the radio telling the host, Steve, about this crazy woman in Dunkin' Donuts who went and paid her $2. We were like jumping. We were crazy. I'm like, I'm on the radio. I was so excited. Caitlin didn't know what to make of it. She was like, my mother's a lunatic. He's like, oh my gosh, here we go again. You know? And I was like, Caitlin. And the best part is, Steve, and she said, you know, my kids walk out with a yo-yo from Toys R Us, you know, the low-hanging fruit. I don't go back. Like, who goes back? And Steve said to her, what did she say? And she said she has to honor her God. And let me tell you something. There is nothing like that feeling that, you know, someone called you out. You made someone speechless, and it wasn't for, like, doing bad things while you're driving and cursing at people, you know? And so she said she had to be responsible to her God, and literally for 10 minutes on K-Joy, they talked about our God. And she said, I want to thank that woman who was in the store who renewed my belief that there are good people in this world. Now, my husband thought I won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was, like, kissing me, thought I was the greatest thing. And I was just all like, I was on the radio. So Michael said, you have to email her. I'm like, I don't know how to email. Where was she? I don't know where she is. So I go to the K-Joy, I keep saying K-Love, the K-Joy radio station. I go to their email address, and I email her. And I said, hi, my name is Carol. Thank you so much for giving God the credit, because really, in the flesh, I wouldn't have gone back. I mean, I was raised by good parents. They said, be honest, but it was out of the way. It was inconvenience. I had to be embarrassed, right, by this woman standing next to me. I said, thank you so much for giving God the credit. And if you want to know the Holy Spirit that inspired me to do that, we have a woman's Bible study right down the street from the Dunkin' Donuts on Wednesday nights. By the way, my daughter loves your shoes. So I knew she would know that was me and not some lunatic who was just, I mean, I'm a lunatic, but I was not another lunatic listening on the radio. So I just send it off and thinking, I'm never going to hear from this woman. She's on the radio. No lie, within minutes, I get a reply. Thank you so much. I've been so far from God, and I need to come back. And you've, you know, just inspired. And it wasn't me. Please don't look at me. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit who said, this is the moment to go to Dunkin' Donuts because I have somebody there waiting for you, right? So I said, you know, she said, thank you so much, but I live in Manhattan. I'm going to find a Bible study group. I grew up as a Christian. She's just, I happen to be in the neighborhood visiting my parents. I mean, you can't make it up how God moves the pieces and makes it happen. But she said, thank you so much. And that was it. And 2 weeks later, she was gone from K-Joy. She left. She moved to Florida. And God had that meeting. I'm telling you, this is a woman I used to turn off the radio. So don't be surprised. The people come in your life that maybe you don't even like. And God uses you. There's people in this room that I didn't like that now I love. So, I mean, they know who they are. So today we're going to continue. The whole point of that story, because there is a point, the whole point of the story is that today we're continuing on divine interruptions. And my divine interruption with Maria from the radio had to start with the divine interruption of Carol. So today we're going to look at Paul the Apostle. We're going to look at Acts 9, if you have your Bible. And just a quick service announcement, you need a Bible. You need a Bible, and this is my Bible, 2009, and I want you to look at this Bible. It is a wreck. It is well-worn. There's notes and underline. Anyone who tells you can't highlight and underline in a Bible, not the truth. Get your Bible. You know why? Listen, I believe in electronics. I have a love-hate relationship with electronics. I think electronics are good, so you may be here with your electronic Bible. But there is nothing like when I pick this up to read it in the morning, and like even today when we turn to Acts 9, and I go to that page, and there's my notes from like 2010 saying, God, please deliver my husband who's sitting here saved. Please, you know, be with my friend who lost their parent. Please be with so-and-so whose son is addicted. Please be with this. You know what I'm saying? There's just something. And I compare it to my brother lives in Japan. And thank God for technology. We do this Skypey selfie, whatever that thing is. And so we talk to each other. And at the end of every one, we go, I love you. And we're looking at each other at the screen. The difference of holding this and reading this compared to your phone is if I was with Michael in person and I kissed him on the cheek. When you have this in your hand, It's like you're holding the word of God. It's the difference of being kissed on the cheek and being kissed on Skype. So I really, my public service announcement for this morning, but you need, please get yourself a Bible. I know we have Bibles. It will be worth your time, your investment, whatever you have to really, and this just represents all the times I've been on my knees, like how worn out this is, the good times, the bad times. Okay, so please open to Acts 9, and we're going to start at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So I just want to stop here a second. You know, any Christian religion or, you know, sect you may come from, you pretty much heard of Paul. I mean, he's a pretty, you know, popular guy, wrote a lot of books in the Bible. But, you know, it's really important to think about Paul before he became Paul. Paul started out as Saul. And, you know, he was really passionate. He thought he was dead on for what God called him to do. And he was so dead off, right? I mean, this was a guy who was, you know, passionate, murderous threats. The Bible tells us that he stood there while the apostle Paul, Stephen got stoned. I mean, he participated in the crushing of the way, which was Jesus's death on the cross, salvation message. And so I just wanted to take a minute to think about that because, you know, many times we think, you know, we're the worst or we're the best. Now, you could be the worst and really be the worst, and you could be the best but be the worst because your ego and your pride makes you the worst. You just don't recognize it. So it's just important to take a look at Paul and see where he was at when God gave him a divine interruption. And he was in for the interruption of his life. So on the next slide, we say, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So God gives Paul a significant interruption. He just totally, no, it happens differently for everybody, by the way, divine interruptions. It might be over years and years that God is just churning your heart and your spirit, that you come to this realization that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and that you want to commit your life to him. Not so with Paul. It happens like that. And look what happens to Paul when he has his divine intervention.
Who's that? Who are you? Speak!
I am one of those you want to destroy.
Forgive me. I have wronged you. I've wronged God. My soul is on fire. Help me.
I have chosen him to proclaim my name to the world. I am sent by God. For you.
I know you.
You came to my house.
No. No. No, don't leave me. Oh, don't leave me.
I, Ananias, baptize you, Paul, in the name of Jesus Christ. For he has chosen you to change the world in his name.
Powerful, yes. So here's a guy who was, you know, murderous threats. He was out there, you know, persecuting people. And there's one word that came to mind to me when I saw this video. Paul is wrecked. He is wrecked by God. Everything that he stood on, everything he believed in, was totally wrecked. And Webster's dictionary tells us that wrecked means ruined or destroyed. And you know, that sounds really scary to us. You know, we have things in our lives that, you know, when we come to Christ, we might be thinking, I don't want to give that up. I kind of like those friends I hang out with. I kind of like that habit. I kind of like not worrying about things or, you know, rules of things. So being wrecked sounds really scary. Being ruined sounds really scary. But I like for a minute to think of being wrecked, that being ruined could actually be very positive. If you think, take a minute and think about me when you fell in love. Do you remember when you fell in love? Or when you felt that feeling of just overwhelming love? I can tell you the very second I fell in love with my husband, Michael, I can tell you where he was, who he was talking to, what he was wearing, how he was standing. And I knew that I was ruined forever. Because that feeling of love, the bar was now set so high. That feeling was so good. It was like being struck by lightning. I was like, oh, I think I like that. You know, it felt good. So today, you know, we want to talk about divine interruptions that starts with you, that God wants to wreck you. He wants to have a divine interruption with you in areas of your life that need to be ruined, that need to be undone. So then we move into the book of Matthew where it says, all things are new in Christ. So you lay down the wreckage that's parts of your life and you rise with Christ in newness, in wonderful things. And then what happens is when you have that divine encounter with Christ, it's meant to be shared. You're not meant to be a reservoir of all these wonderful things of Christ. You're meant to be a conduit. It's meant to start with you, and then we're meant to go out there with it. So let's look at a few areas that God is really looking to wreck your life. He's looking to wreck your hopelessness. And we're going to put the scripture up. And again, I hate electronics, but I would take a picture because I promise you that today, as this word seeps into you, within the next couple of weeks, someone is going to say to you, you know, I'm just so hopeless. And you're going to be able to whip out that phone and whip out that scripture or jot it down and say, you know what? I have something that's going to wreck that hopelessness in you. Because there are times, listen, just because we come to Christ and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior does not make it any bed of roses. This world just keeps going. Bad things happen. And they will continue to happen. But the hope that you have in Jesus Christ is above and beyond your situation and your circumstances. It doesn't matter what you're facing, you know, depression, the death of a loved one, financial ruin, we continue to have hope. And Jesus wants to wreck your hopelessness. He also wants to wreck your lack of peace. I don't know about you, but there's nights I sleep like a baby, and there's nights that I toss and turn. I just said to my husband the other night, I don't know how we're sleeping. Every day I wake up, the covers are on the floor. So I'm tossing and turning. I don't have peace. I'm like constantly going, thinking and worrying. And but you know what? Jesus wants to come into your life. He may already be in your life, and maybe you've forgotten this. And that lack of peace in your life is just eating you up. He wants to wreck that. He wants that lightning bolt to come to you, that feeling of joy that you can't even explain when you're going through the worst things in your life, but yet inside you have this bizarro joy that Christ gives you because your eyes are not on this stuff. Your eyes are not on people. It's not on your car. It's not on your house. It's not on your education. He gives you a peace that's relying on Him, and He is constant. He doesn't change. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. You know, if we could talk to the apostles, that's the Jesus that gave them peace, and that's the Jesus that gives you peace today. The next one is a big one for me. He wants to wreck your fears. He doesn't want you to be fearful. He wants you to hold on to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He wants you to be brave because you can do so much, but you're so crippled in your fear. You heard Preetha this morning. When I showed up this morning, Greg said, "How you doing?" I said, "I wanted to call in sick." Because I was sick to my stomach. I couldn't have my breakfast. Like, do I sound like I have a talking problem? No. But I literally woke up this morning going, I can't do this. I've had this topic since March. That's how long I've been pondering it. And I didn't want to come here today. I didn't want to speak. And then yesterday, Friday, we were at the Leadership Summit, which I would absolutely 100% encourage you to go. And on Friday, the closing speaker, I would have gone the whole weekend, the 2 days to hear this guy. And he said, you know what, you could be here for 2 days and get all this leadership information, but it will mean nothing if you walk out that door and you're crippled with fear. And I can come in here with my law degree, my seminary degree, you know, studying this for 5 months and all of that, and literally wake up this morning and be crippled in fear. So I encourage you this morning to be courageous and strong. That's what God has for you. Let Him wreck that fear. Then, and there's so many. I'm just going to go over a couple. There's ones in your own life, so I pray that you're getting the message this morning, even though I may not hit your exact one. But He also wrecks your excuses. And I love this one because some of you know my story. I grew up in Brooklyn. My father was a raging, angry, abusive alcoholic. My mother left when I was 5, and she left us with my father to raise us, my father and my 2 brothers. And it was really a free-for-all. You know, my father would take the 3 of us, we lived in Sunset Park, my father would take the 3 of us to go get our haircuts at the barber. He would go to the same place to buy our jeans and our boots. I don't think I really knew I was a girl till I was about 23, you know, because I was just one of the wolves in the pack, you know. And a lot of issues, right? Abandonment, my mother's not there, my father, I mean, God love him, he tried, but you know, this disease was just really too powerful for him. And so when I became a parent, is it shocking to you that I was an angry dry drunk? The Lord has delivered me from alcoholism when I was 27, so I haven't drank, but I had the anger of my father, and I had the abandonment of my mother. You can ask my husband. I would work 27 hours a day if I could. I would stay at the office. Michael would be the stay-home dad, and I would just work and work and work. Like, being away from my children meant nothing to me because it meant nothing to her, right? And I remember coming home one day, and literally, if the cup was here instead of here, the snakes came out of my head. I was like a raging lunatic. I'd be screaming at my kids. And I remember Caitlin cowering in the corner. And if you see Caitlin, we look a little alike. So she was about 5, the same age when my mother left, and she was cowering in the corner. And I said, oh my God, I'm them. I never wanted to be them, but I'm them, and I'm doing to her what they did to me. She's gonna have an eating disorder. She's gonna be totally insecure. She's gonna make horrendous decisions. And I remember riding the Long Island Railroad that day and crying out to God, going, I loved blaming my parents for being the parent that I was. I loved having an excuse to say, well, what do you expect? I had bad parents. My father was an alcoholic. My mother did this. I'll blame them. And God said, not today. He said to me, get in my word, Carol. I'll teach you how to be a parent. I'll teach you what it means to love unconditionally, to not react, to control yourself, to love your children. He wrecked my excuses, and I thank God he did. And so I can move on. And listen, I'm far from perfect. Caitlin's here, she'll tell you. I'm far from perfect, but I know God is doing great things in my life because he's wrecking them. And then just quickly, he wrecks your loneliness. If you're someone who, you know, you could be in a crowded room and you just feel really alone, he wrecks your loneliness. He's always with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you always. And then lastly, you know, you're not an orphan. You may not have had the father who, like my own, who really was just not capable of being the father he needed to be. Do you have a next one on the orphan? He, you know, you might not have had the mother, the parenting, and you should kiss your parents if you do, because let me tell you, that's a gift. But, you know, we are children of God. So you're not alone. You're not an orphan. You know, you may be here today, and, you know, when we moved to Long Island, we thought we had no family here. I found out I had a cousin who lived pretty close by. But the community of the church became my family, my friends that I love so very much. You're not alone, and you're certainly not an orphan, because he wants to be that father, that mother, that parent, that teacher that you need in your life. But at the end of the day, the wreckage that Paul was not only meant for him. So as we continue down the road to Damascus with Paul in Acts 9, it says, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So the men that were with Saul, now Paul, had no clue what was going on, but they were rendered speechless. Just by being in that presence. It's just like the woman at Dunkin' Donuts. She had no clue what was going on. But God was moving in me. My divine interruption was moving forward, and she got to be witness to that. And that's who we are. And sometimes we're rendered speechless. I had a girlfriend of mine at her job who, you know, just it was very unstable, really wasn't insecure. And one day the supervisor comes in and says, you know, not only are you not getting fired, you're getting a promotion, you're getting more money, you're now part of the union. And I mean, she was totally speechless. But how she reacted in front of those people, so she had a divine interruption of God's providence. Then the woman who was telling her, she started to cry, my girlfriend, because she knew. And then she got to share with this woman what was going, you know, that God had provided that. Of course, people sometimes, if they're not believers, look at us like we're a little crazy. But that's okay. That's okay. Because we're not going to be fearful of judgment. People tell, you know, looking at us in judgment. We're not going to be fearful that, you know, they're going to condemn us. Or when I recently, and we'll close with this. I recently had a health issue. I went for a test. And they found something on my lungs, and they said, we need to go for a PET scan. And when you hear PET scan with contrast, it automatically makes you think of cancer. And so, you know, Michael and I, we didn't tell anybody. We just prayed about it. We got my little crew together. Everybody prayed. And by the grace of God, I went for the PET scan. Nada, cancer free. So I get on the phone with the doctor, and he goes, your cancer, everything's okay. And I said, but 2 weeks ago, you told me, like, I had this thing on my lungs. He goes, you know, it's probably like an aberration, like, no big deal. I said, no. I said, it's a miracle. I said, my girls and I, we prayed. My God answered our prayer, and that's why I'm healed. And I could tell, he was speechless, the doctor on the other end, right? Because he's thinking he's got all his medical answers. And I'm like, not today. I'm going to tell you why I think that, you know, I'm better. So in the end, Matthew 5:16 tells us, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see his good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So your divine interruption starts with you. The last slide says, it starts with you, and it's meant to be shared. So as the worship team comes up, and what I'd like to do this morning is definitely sing that Worthy song, because there was a line in the Worthy song that was totally this message today. And it says, show me you, God, fill my heart, and lead me in love to others who are around me. And that's exactly what today is about. That's exactly what this message is about. The divine interruption has to start with you, and then you go on to have a divine interruption in the lives of others. So if you close your eyes and you bow your heads, the one thing that the Lord kept putting on my heart as I was preparing this message is that I really couldn't leave today. I couldn't sit down today without giving you an invitation. And every eye closed, every head bow, please. Every eye closed, every head bow. And the invitation is this. If you're here today and you've had a divine interruption with Christ, at some point in your life you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know the fullness of Jesus, the grace, the mercy, He's wrecked your loneliness. He's wrecked your lack of peace. He's wrecked maybe your addiction. He's wrecked and renewed your broken marriage. He's wrecked your pride. He's wrecked your ego. And you have risen up out of the ashes, glorious in God. But for some reason, and it maybe could be fear, it could have been lack of knowledge, you have yet to fully go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've had a divine interruption, but you've kept it in your box. You've kept it to yourself. This morning, God would say, I'm with you, like Preetha said. I'm with you. I see you. But I need you to be free of whatever's holding you back to spread the gospel. See, we are His hands and feet. Just like the apostles, we're the ones to get that word out. If you're here today, you've had your divine interruption, but you have yet to break forth in freedom to share that with others, I would ask you to stand today so we can pray for you. Every eye closed, every head bow, please. Stand, and we want to pray for you, a special prayer for you that says, God, I love you. I want to be obedient to your word. I want to be someone that goes forth and spreads the gospel. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to worry about people judging me. I want to claim your name and just start to talk to people. Let them see you in me. If you're here today and you've never had this divine interruption, you've never heard Jesus Christ could come into your life and just wreck these areas of life and create a new creature in you, I would just encourage you that today is your day. I would ask you to stand where you are. I would ask you to stand so we can pray for you. Every eye closed and every head bow. You're not standing. Look at my eyes are closed too. You're not standing so we can see you. You're standing so God can see you. You're standing to proclaim that I believe about this Jesus Christ that you're talking about, Carol, that I've been searching for so long. There's been an emptiness in my life. If you're here today and you just keep dealing with the loneliness and the things in your life that are dragging you down, your finances, your relationships, your job, God wants to meet you here today. He wants to wrap His loving arms around you and say, you know what? I love you. I love you. I want to be with you. Dear Father God, you see your people. You see people standing. Dear Father God, we pray over them this morning in your name. And everyone here together is praying for one another. We are a community of people. We are the body of Christ. We love each other. We want to be patient with one another. We want to encourage one another. We don't want to break each other down. We want to lift each other up in your name. You were the example, oh Father God, of grace and patience and love. Dear Father God, for anyone here today who doesn't know you, who maybe didn't want to stand. I pray, oh Father God, that the Holy Spirit just touch their hearts, dear Father God, that they can never be the same. They can never be the same once the love of Christ touches you. It can never be the same. Everything changes. Let's repeat this together. Dear God, we love you. We thank you. We give our hearts to you this morning. We give our talents to you this morning. We give our finances to you this morning. We give our gifts to you this morning. We give our homes, our cars, our children. We give it all to you, oh Father God, that everyone around us, including believers, may see you in me. May see you in me. You've divinely interrupted my life. Now divinely interrupt everyone around me. We thank you, oh Father God. We praise you this morning. It says, it tells us in the Bible that if we simply say, Jesus, I know you are Lord and Savior. I know that you died on the cross to save me. I give my life to you. That you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. Please have a seat. The worship team is going to sing that song for us. And again, every eye bow, every head bow, every eye closed. The worship team will lead us in this song one more time. And I just pray for you that you never forget your divine interruption and that you move forth divinely interrupting everybody else.